William Morrow and Harper Audio present Heartstone by L. Catherine White, performed by Billy Fulford Brown.
Chapter 1. An Inconvenience of Hobgoblins. I'd never seen an angry hobgoblin before. If this one wasn't my friend, it might have been funny. Tobble was red in the face before I noticed him in the grass by the garden wall, and since hobgoblins have green skin, that in itself was quite a feat. "Tobble, what's wrong?" I asked in low gnomic, or what could have passed as gnomic if I hadn't butchered it with my Arlian accent. The earthy words used by hobgoblins and other garden creatures sounded heavy and awkward on my human tongue, and Tobble had often despaired of my pronunciation. Today, however, he was too distraught to notice.
"Lord Merryborn has hired riders, Eliza. 5 of them. Do you know what that means?" he said.
His head, which was round and homely as a potato, came halfway up my shin, and he clutched handfuls of his mossy hair as I knelt next to him.
"We're doomed, doomed, I say."
I set my basket on the ground. "Slow down. Who's doomed?"
"Everyone. Gnomes, hobgoblins, half-goblins, all of us garden folk."
"Why are you all doomed?" Tobble clambered up onto my lap, leaving muddy footprints on the front of my dress. Eyes the colour of wilted dandelion stared into mine.
"There will be wyverns flying around the place."
"Well, yes, the riders ride the wyverns. Isn't that the point?"
"Eliza, wyverns eat hobgoblins."
"Come on, Tobble, nobody's going to get eaten. When's the last time you heard of a hired wyvern snacking on the locals?"
"I guess, never."
"Exactly. These riders signed a contract. They're not about to let their mounts gobble up the garden folk while there's work to be done. Besides, it's bad manners. Wyverns are civilized creatures."
"But what if one of them gets hungry? What if he can't help it?"
I squeezed his hand between my thumb and forefinger. "Tell you what, just in case, gods forbid, Lord Merryborn happened to hire the rudest riders in all, I'll ask him to set aside a few extra head of cattle for their wyverns." Tobble grinned, showing a row of flat brown teeth. Just as he opened his mouth to speak, a shadow fell over the garden. Wings beat the air behind us, large wings. My heart broke into a gallop as Tobble disappeared into the underbrush. Instinct told me to follow him, to run, to hide, but terror dug nails deep into my legs, rooting me to the ground. Is this what Rena felt? Is this why she didn't run when the griffins came for her? The wing beats grew louder, and I picked up my basket. Not much defense against a griffin's talons, but I wasn't about to go without a fight. I turned to face the thing that blocked the sun. Relief washed over me, warm and sweet, and I almost laughed. In the field beyond the garden wall, a dragon was descending. The dragon's wings stretched the length of the field, and talons the size of plowshares scoured the earth where it landed. Pewter scales shone with a bluish-gold luster where the sun hit its sides, and I longed for a canvas and some paints to capture the sight, my fear forgotten. A broad-shouldered figure leapt from the dragon's back.
"You there?"
The rider's voice tore me away from the strokes of my mental paintbrush. I reddened as he approached and tried to wipe some of the mud from my dress, succeeding only in smudging it farther down the front. The contrast between us grew clearer and more painful with each step. Tooled in gold across the rider's breastplate was the rampant figure of a dragon, the symbol of House Daered, and on the hilt of the sword slung over his shoulder, I caught the blood-red glimmer of Alarmia's heartstone. As my younger sister Mari once told me, the serpentine, scythe-wielding monsters called Lamias were one of the Takari, sworn foes of humankind. Alarmia's heartstone would be a worthy pommel gem for a Daered's blade. My gaze trailed from his heartstone to his face, and a new chill ran through me, though this one wasn't so much fear as a healthy dose of embarrassment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?